Welcome to Digital Days Gaming presents the PS5 reveal. This is not a numbered episode. My name is Dave Hunt. This is Michael Swick.
I am so glad this reveal went better than I thought it was gonna go.
Yeah, definitely. So we both got notes. We got a lot to talk about. It was very important to us for anything that was hopefully relevant, which it was relevant enough to warrant a podcast, that we wanted to get this out as soon as possible. We are live on Twitch tonight, Thursday night after the reveal, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming. So please follow there if you haven't yet. We would appreciate it. As well as just subscribing on your podcast services and sharing the show. As we've been talking about a lot, just keep sharing the show, whether it's on Facebook or through reviews or anything like that. Any way that you can get additional eyes on the show is always appreciated, and they help us grow. And hopefully one of the ways that that helps us with that is with all the words PS5 and PlayStation 5 all over this post. So we are going to just dive right into it. And it started, go ahead, actually, Michael, with what we led off with.
So I was really worried how this thing opened. They decided to highlight the history of PlayStation a little bit and show you like the highlights of PS4. And they started with a weird thing that I thought it was weird. They dedicated a lot of time to Grand Theft Auto 5 at the opening, and in the corner it said PS4. It was basically just a trailer for Grand Theft Auto 5, and then it turned into a trailer for Grand Theft Auto Online. And the reason they ended up doing that is because Grand Theft Auto Online will be free for PS Plus people in 2021 when the game comes out.
So just the online mode, though, right?
Just the online. It was very specific of GTA 5 Online, which I guess is fine. You could buy GTA 5 for like $20 on a PS4, and if backwards compatibility works, top 100 games are supposed to work. Yeah. Like, no reason for this, but they wanted to start with it. Grand Theft Auto sells like crazy, so I kind of get it, kind of don't understand it, but that's how they started the show, which got me kind of scared that that's how they started the show.
Yeah. Well, it also talked about expanded. Like, it said the word, like, you know, expanded. So, and it looked like to me like this is the beginning of them laying the foundation for their online component being essentially free to play going forward. Like, I have a feeling that GTA 6 will probably be just accessible for everybody, and it'll be full of cosmetics and microtransactions like it already is anyways. So,
yeah, I mean, we had those news reports for GTA 6 that was the same, like, they're going to look at different way to distribute the game. And I mean, GTA 5 was free on PC, and I think everyone downloaded it like two weeks ago.
But so they said enhanced and expanded. So obviously enhanced will be, you know, better frame rate, you know, better graphics, better visuals, probably obviously better load times. Mm-hmm. And then expanded is the part that's kind of interesting to me, is like, is it going to be a different version on PS5 than it is on PS4 in terms of the online component?
Yeah, different things to acquire. I would hope, I want like some story DLC, even though I didn't finish the original game, but they've done good story stuff for like Grand Theft Auto 4. I'm interested to see where that goes. But to be honest with you, when they started off with Grand Theft Auto 5, it worried me. I don't know about you, Dave, but
I was kind of confused at first. I thought maybe they were starting to set up 6, like, and I was like, "Are we going to see 6?" And then it showed 5 right away, and then, like you said, it had the PS4 logo in the upper corner. So I was like, "What is going on here?" And then it, you know, there's also no implication from Rockstar of how it's going to transition to next gen consoles from them.
Yeah. We'll see where that goes. But let's get into like the big stuff. Because after this intro for Grand Theft Auto, I feel like the show was focused and it had its like rhythm that it kept going and going. They start off with kind of a surprise, sort of, kind of. I predicted Spider-Man would make an appearance, but they are going to do Spider-Man Miles Morales this holiday for the PS5, which I think is huge. It looks like Miles is in full force in this.
It looks like Spider-Verse Spider-Man, right? Like the costume and like the from the most recent animated movie we had.
That's kind of been it. That has been his uniform for a while. But that's just because Marvel Comics have done a really good job of like mimicking whatever's being done in the movies. Oh, or to where the costume you see in the comics will then be the movie costume. But
well, my wife was watching it with me, and she thought she saw the girl, like a girl character at the very beginning from the Into the Spider-Verse, but I haven't gone back and looked at the trailer. Or
yeah, I would have to rewatch that, just how they would do that with Gwen Stacy, just because Gwen Stacy, if Peter Parker exists, that's Gwen Stacy. Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy, that's like the first relationship. You know, Gwen Stacy is Peter Parker's girlfriend, and then she, you know, dies. And but then in the Miles Morales universe, the Ultimate Universe, it's a whole different setup for that. So they could just do something with that. I really hope so. You can't see it behind me, but I have a Gwen Stacy Miles Morales poster behind me. So I would love to get Gwen Stacy Spider-Gwen in this game. I'm curious to see what this is going to be, because this is faster. When I saw Holiday 2020 for this, I was surprised, but then I realized this could be something like Infamous First Light, where it's
we always talked about that. Well, we always talked about it too, and we speculated, like, they're not calling it Spider-Man 2 for a reason. Like, right off the bat, it's not called Spider-Man 2. We all know analytically, games with a number next to them sell better. Like, that's been, like, we've heard that from developers for a long time. So them not calling it Spider-Man 2 is substantial. The turnaround time from it, and also what we find out later of how busy Insomniac is.
Yes.
It leads to believe that this might not be a full-fledged, I don't even know what you consider a full-fledged game, and maybe not a 15 or 20-hour campaign game.
Yeah, I mean, because the first Spider-Man game, or Marvel Spider-Man PS4, that was like 15 to 30 hours, depending on how deep you wanted to go with the side stuff. So if this is like a Uncharted Lost Legacy sort of scenario, where it's just like a tight six-hour thing, that would be great. And they did some really good character building for Miles in the first Spider-Man game. So going this route has me really excited to what.
Yeah, they can do. I mean, this Miles Morales seed has been planted by PlayStation and Marvel going all the way back to the original Spider-Man reveal.
Yes.
When we saw him fly through the air, and you look up and somebody turns around and looks at him going, and it's Miles. And everybody's like, you know, you said it. I still remember sitting with you at the press conference. You're like, that's Miles Morales.
Yeah, and this is before Spider-Verse, so I don't even think you knew who that was. Really.
Right, I didn't know a whole bunch about it. Like, I know who Spider-Man is. This, when they showed this thing, it just makes it's moved Spider-Man. For whatever reason, I haven't started or obviously finished Spider-Man on PS4, and it's just moving it up my list. So
yeah, really important in that first game.
Yeah,
It looks phenomenal from everything they showed from that. They didn't show a lot of gameplay for it, but I can imagine it's going to look good. And it's a good way for them to reuse New York, because they're going to have to. So we can at least maybe get a hint of that, like, Mark Cerny demo that we've heard about for the last year, where Spider-Man's just moving around super fast, no loading.
You think the puddles are going to load better?
I hope the puddles are there for them to load better. So I'm excited for this. This is the thing that I wanted, and I kind of knew it was going to be there. So it being there just made me happy, and I knew from then this would be a win in terms of, like, the show, or how the rest of the show would have gone.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So here, for a couple people on the stream, we're going to interact with the stream a little bit more than we normally do on this episode. So here you go, Lethal. Like, I will play it.
You got to,
like,
raise it up, probably.
Yeah. I got two webcams. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong.
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong webcam.
So, all right. So next up, after Spider-Man and Holiday 2020, like you mentioned, big shocker here, Gran Turismo 7. Well, that it's 7, it was a little bit of a surprise. And then just the detail. Like, I am not a racing game fan at all. I don't care about Gran Turismo, but these games look beautiful.
They do. You need a racing game at a console reveal, and Gran Turismo is the one. Will it actually make it Holiday 2020? Who knows? With the,
they didn't say anything, right?
Okay, I don't think they said anything. Yeah, so
yeah,
at least they don't have to worry about delaying it if they didn't say anything. I just want to know, will the clouds move? Because that's my big thing with Gran Turismo. Like, Forza does a good job of making the environment look good. Mm-hmm. Gran Turismo hyper focuses on the car. And I just remember
It's more of a sim driver,
I just remember static environments with the previous Gran Turismos, even in Gran Turismo Sport. So I'm hoping there's a little bit more going around outside of the cars.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been a technical wonder, you know, like how they work and how they play. I've always heard online always seems to be a little bit of a struggle, like all the way back to like 35-digit friend codes and stuff like that to play Gran Turismo with your friends. Typically, they average one a console generation. We saw 6 on PS3, and then we saw Sport, which initially I thought when they released Sport, they were going to just like continue to build on top of it.
It didn't take off.
And I guess
off.
Maybe they realized it was too hard and it wasn't working.
Yeah, I think Sport was a disappointment for them. So
yeah, but yeah, even like Savage said in the chat, you could see all the detail, like the notches on the AC knob. But the first thing that I noticed right away was just branding. Like their driver had Puma racing gloves on.
Yeah, no, this is car porn. Like Gran Turismo is just car porn. Yeah, if I drove, I would probably be super excited about Gran Turismo. But it looks good, and. They do,
and then they showed some. They showed off some kind of social system, like. At first, I didn't realize I was still looking at Gran Turismo.
Yeah,
like when they showed like the, you know, like almost like I mean, I hate to say it like this, but almost like a Sims looking, like down onto the like onto the city and where you picked certain areas to be, or down onto the like the I guess the country.
Yeah, the minimap stuff was a little weird. It looked dated, which goes on trend with how Gran Turismo does stuff.
Yeah.
Like the menu just looked kind of dated and just weird. But Gran Turismo, outside of the car stuff, usually has everything just a couple years behind. So that is like right on brand for Gran Turismo.
Yeah, but I agree. I mean, like I would say holiday 2021, best case scenario for this.
Yeah.
So this is the first time they've said Gran Turismo 7.
Yeah, like everyone knew it was coming, but we didn't know if they were going to show it now because they have a... Polyphony has a really bad track record of releasing stuff timely, so I think people were maybe wondering if they would like hold it back until it was more guaranteed date, but it's better that they just don't date it at all.
Right. Than to disappoint. So.
Yeah. But let's move on to the other Insomniac game, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and this demo... It took me a couple seconds to realize what the demo was showing off, but once I figured it out, this game looks super, super impressive.
Yeah. He's essentially falling dimension to dimension to dimension to dimension.
Yes, and later on, so the game is called Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and later on in the demo, because they did this, it was like a cool cinematic trailer that jumped into gameplay, and then they had a developer talk about the game for a couple seconds, and then it went back into like extended gameplay. And it looks like Ratchet just has the ability to just pull other dimensions in on the fly, which is showing off that SSD technology of just how fast and seamless that it can change the environment and the world without having to load. And they were burning through stuff. Like, he was changing stuff constantly during that gameplay demo. And that is the stuff that makes me excited about new technology. Like, this was probably the best example of the power of the PlayStation.
Well, and what I liked best about it is that additional layer. Like, you're always looking for an additional layer, but I still saw the weapon wheel, the ridiculous weapons, the killing things, the breaking blocks, getting the bolts, the systematic what made Ratchet and Clank is still there. They're not trying to redo that. They just took that and they said, okay, how can we make it more fun? How can we make it more cool? And it's one of those things where I'm curious to, like, because Ratchet and Clank, for the most part, have been very linear-based. Like, you could explore a little bit off the beaten path, but you couldn't jump off a building and go into a different dimension.
Yeah. And not only just being able to jump dimension to dimension, but just seeing, like, a quick implementation of how that will work gameplay-wise and how you can use that to your advantage was just great to see. Like, it looks really well thought out and shows off the technology. Also, I love that they pulled an Adventure Time at the end of the cinematic trailer, where it looks like Clank ended up pulling a different Ratchet from a different universe, like a female Ratchet, which... Mm-hmm.
When they got separated.
Yeah, which I just immediately got excited because that is the most Adventure Time thing to do. And
well, and they've been talking about Ratchet being like the last of the Wombats.
Yes.
So...
But if they pulled a different dimension Ratchet, that's just basically him. So I want to see what that plays out, what that means. Like, did they pull an actual Ratchet? Or
is there another Clank?
Yeah, I want to see what's going to happen with that. Is there going to be a time where you play as this other character? It got me excited, and but I'm not a big Ratchet and Clank fan. But this one looks cool enough.
I am.
I don't know. I've always been a Sly Cooper fan more than Ratchet.
The last one on PS4 didn't really do much for me, but I still have like good memories of like Kraken Time and some of the PS3 ones. Like I had a lot of fun playing those. But I didn't see any kind of date or anything on that though, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
The thing though with this, because it looks like it could be a cool implementation of like the SSD, it might get me to pick up the game just to see how far they go with some of that stuff. It's a cool gimmick to show off the hardware.
And it was an extensive amount of gameplay.
Yes, too. It was really good. It makes me feel like this is further along than some of the other games we saw.
Right, which concerns me, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Do you want to grab the next one?
Yeah, so I'm probably going to think... So Square Enix was up, and they showed some... in cooperation with Luminous Productions, Project Athea. The first thing that I noticed with this is the tech that you were talking about with Ratchet and Clank. This female character was moving from mountain to mountain so fast.
Reminded me of the Unreal tech demo we just saw a little bit a couple weeks ago.
So fast. Like, however, you know, they put design for PS5. So again, if this company through Square Enix is using Unreal Engine 5 that we've heard is optimized for PS5, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or whatever engine's being used for it. The wording again is weird because they didn't say exclusive, but they said designed. So, I mean, I guess does that mean that you poured it afterwards? My other thing that I'm wondering about again is with Square Enix, obviously they have got a ton of studios, but with the briefness of this trailer, like I have a feeling this game is much farther out than just about anything else we saw.
I think so, just because it has a project as the title. I'm expecting it to be way further along, and Square Enix tends to take their time. I don't know if this was their Western studios or their Japanese studios. Japanese studios tend to take their time. Western studios tend to be a little bit quicker. I did look into it. Gary Whitta, the writer of Star Wars Rogue One and Book of Eli, he apparently was the head writer on this game, or one of the head writers on this game. So they have a good writing staff behind it, apparently. So I'm interested in this. It looked cool. I just wish there was more to show for this, because it piqued my interest immediately. But this is...
Other than seeing her jump from platform to platform, we like know nothing about what the game is.
Yeah, it definitely has a look and a vibe that I'm excited about. But it's one of those things that we talked about with Khalif a couple weeks ago, of just when they announce stuff too soon. We might be asking about like what is going on with this game for a couple years. And that sometimes can be detrimental to a game. But I guess when you do a console reveal, all the publishers probably want to jump on board and be like, hey, yes, we are doing something. And they have to like show that they're supporting it, even if they to show them like, hey, we have like 30 seconds of gameplay.
Right. Or, hey, here's a suitcase of money. We want to be in your show.
Yes, exactly. We need excitement. We don't want to say Final Fantasy VII Part II. So let's show you a tech demo that we have. But the writing staff is... I'm curious about it because the writing staff behind it. I like Gary Whitta. He does really good work. Okay, and then a game that immediately caught my attention. Annapurna games popped up a couple times throughout this. They're really proliferant in like the indie like AA studio like realm. It was a game, really short trailer. It was a bunch of robots in like a neon lights, dark alley city sort of scenario. But there was a cat with a backpack. That's all we know. Is there was a cat with a backpack with a bunch of robots.
And there was a lot of stuff, my wife noticed it too, like watching, like there was a lot of like spray painted graffiti that said like RIP humans and no escape. And so there's definitely some type of world that they're trying to build there. Of robots, that it doesn't look like the robots took over, so it's interesting because I didn't get an aggressive you know, aspect from them?
Yeah, there was, well, the cat looked cute because it was wearing a backpack, and it looks like you might be playing a cat. And it reminds me, Netflix put out a series of, like, short sci-fi films, almost like Black Mirror-esque, but, like, shorter form. And there was a story in it where robots took over and, like, the humans all kind of killed themselves, and the robots were just left to themselves. But the robots eventually found out that cats were actually the ones behind everything. So it was like cats and robots. So when I saw that, immediately that Netflix show, which is, it's escaping my mind on what Netflix show that was. But it looks cool. It's definitely something that I could totally get down with. And then after that, we got like a PS5 spec trailer, where it just kind of like ran down all the different specs in a PS5, which I like those little interstitials that they put between all the trailers. Uh-huh. It was a really cool style, and sometimes it was very informative.
So it started like the first thing that they made sure that they got out of the way was Ultra 4K Blu-ray. So,
Which that would, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So, and then obviously we know about ray tracing, the SSD, the haptic feedback. They showed off the controller a little bit more. They talked about some of the 3D audio. So then they moved right into to Housemarque's game.
Yes. Which is Returnal, I think is what the name of the game was.
Yeah. Yep. PS5 exclusive.
So. Yeah, this was interesting. I'm going to say interesting a lot. I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. A female protagonist in a spaceship crash lands on an island and is just stuck in an endless cycle of every time she dies, she comes back.
Groundhog Day in the future.
Yes. It's Live, Die, Repeat, the Tom Cruise movie, which we'll see another Live, Die, Repeat game later on at the end, which I found hilarious. The world will change every time the character comes back. And that's the premise of the game. It's the aliens attacking. The aliens will change as well every time you die and then you come back. Very fascinating. Completely different style and budget that we've seen from Housemarque, which they...
Yeah, because it's a third-person shooter. Third-person
shooter, yes. Yeah.
Which is very different from what they've been doing because they've been known for Twin Stick.
Yes.
For a long time. And then I'm also curious, like, what happened to their rumored Battle Royale game?
So, sometime last year, they released their Battle Royale game in Early Access. Or it was just an alpha, I think, private alpha. And then they said they had to put it on hold to work with a partner on a secret project. And the secret project is most likely what we're seeing today with Returnal. So they put that completely on hold, which makes sense.
Right. Which again leads me to believe how far is this out?
Mm-hmm. Because that all happened within the last year. I hope it works out for them. I hope it works out for them.
Yeah, same. Because this could be the nail in the coffin for them. So,
They put out that blog post last year that said like arcade is dead, and they talked about moving away from their comfort zone of like the twin stick shooters and the arcade shooters. So this is a big jump for them. It's good that they're working with the worldwide Sony studios for this, because that they can help incubate and nurture this game into hopefully something good. I wonder how they feel when we talk to a game later on
I hope for Housemarque too, because they like I've had a lot of fun with their games, like the like red Dead Nations,
Dead and, Nation, yeah. Alien Nation,
yeah, and then yeah, and then the other one, Resogun?
Yeah, Resogun was the voxel shooter.
Yeah, like the launch title for PS4. And then, and like they do a lot of fun stuff. Like Housemarque has done a lot of fun stuff, and I hope that they can learn, you know, take what they learned that was fun, engaging gameplay, and put it into something that other people want to play as well.
Yeah. Okay. This this followed with, and again, this thing just kept rolling, and they kept showing like really good, interesting stuff. We'll recap everything how we felt, but they followed this up with kind of a surprise. So Sumo Digital is putting out a Sackboy. It's called Sackboy: A Big Adventure, and this is a 3D platformer adventure game.
Looks like Mario on steroids.
Yeah, Sumo Digital isn't like. This isn't their first Little Big Planet game or themed game, so it's smart to go with them because they worked on like Little Big Planet 3 and I think the Vita versions of the game. This just looks adorable. It's not going to be your original. It's not going to be like a regular Little Big Planet game. It's going to be a focus game, Sackboy on adventures, and I was just happy to see it just because Sackboy was such a good mascot for Sony. That I'm excited to see Sackboy in his own game.
Yeah, it looked fun. I've never really been a huge Little Big Planet fan, but that type of gameplay looks like it's interesting to me. Like that's just taking a cool character from a franchise and putting him in his own kind of, you know, world in his own game, and it looks interesting to see, you know, how that's all going to work.
Yeah, it looks super super cute, and I'm all for that. Dave, you want to grab the next game?
It looked like it was from Lucid, and it was called Destruction. Yeah, so Destruction Derby. So the first thing that I saw about the first vibe that I got while they were showing this was like a Rocket League vibe at first, with the cars moving around in the arenas. And then I started realizing that there was, you know, destruction in the game. And then I saw the people out of the cars.
That definitely made me like, look at the game a little bit deeper.
Yeah. And then immediately after I saw that, I saw the focus on the cars and I saw the focus on the bodies. Like the game looked cool. Like, and it looked like it's something that's fun to play. But that the game immediately, and I don't know if it's just the way I've been thinking lately, but that immediately came like, and my like dollar symbols were showing in my head, like microtransactions, like galore in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was called Destruction All-Stars. As soon as I saw this with the character design and just seeing all the different stuff that the stuff you can, I also thought of like, oh, this could be like, if this takes off, this could be like a Rocket League microtransaction, like gold mine, just because you can customize your character and give them stuff, probably give them some dumb emotes. Then you can customize the car and make the car look cool. There is a lot of potential for what they can turn that into if it nails the gameplay mechanics.
And if I'm all for like a 6 to 10 player game that you can all be in a party chat, and whether you're against each other or on the same team, and just play the game. And, you know, like that was what made Rocket League so much fun, is like, it didn't matter if you sucked at the game, like you just played and you were just messing around with your friends. So,
yeah, it looked cool. I don't really get into games like that too much. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, is this going to be like a new Rocket League? Because I couldn't really tell what was going on in the first, like, 10 seconds. And then I was like, oh, is this Roller Champions, that Ubisoft roller derby game? It's a really bright, colorful, like, definitely looked at Fortnite for some art aesthetic, and then went its own direction. But it looked pretty cool. I'd be interested to see it actually being played. It looked like there was a decent amount of gameplay in that trailer.
I don't really know if I feel like that was gameplay, though.
No, I think it was like here and there, like little bits of gameplay.
It looks like a lot of replays to me.
So. Yeah, like cinematic stuff. Kind of like how the Assassin's Creed handled their gameplay reveal, where it's just like, yeah, I mean, this is gameplay, but this is camera angles you're never going to see in game.
Right.
And then, not to burn through this list too fast, but we got the developers from Ember Lab, who showed off the game Kena: Bridge of Spirits, which looks like was like an action adventure with like a little girl protagonist. They said the story's about like personal growth and redemption, and it looks like, outside of the third person action adventuring, you're gonna have control over these like little adorable little creatures. Which it looks like you can instruct on what to do. We give them instructions on how to, like, combat enemies and probably solve puzzles. It looked cool. for a small studio too, it looked gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't resonate with me too much, so I don't really have a huge like anything that's like popping out to me. But I mean, there was a part of this press conference or this presentation that kind of like got like at a lower point to me that I was like, really, like, come on, like, you gotta, like, they. I'll talk about it a little bit more later, but they kind of could have done a little bit more of an ebb and flow of highs and lows. And I feel like this was kind of in the more of the mid range, like the waters kind of settled for a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, I could see that. I think they did find a good flow of like, hey, here's a big thing, here's a small thing, here's a small thing, here's a big thing. I think they put enough pillars in between all of that. But I could totally see for like your taste in games, I could totally see that being like an issue, because you want, like, especially for the reveal, you want like.
I think you got to have heavy hitters, yeah. And they get there, so.
I do like so the. The little creatures, they look like the suit spirits from Spirited Away, which, if you've ever seen Spirited Away, they look exactly like that. So it's like a cross between the little suit spirits and like Furbies, which I thought was like an adorable combination.
And then I think the studio is called Co-op, K-O-O-P.
Yes.
This next and they movie. Did Goodbye Volcano.
Goodbye Volcano High.
Yeah.
Which will and be out in 2021.
Yeah, and this is a Michael game all over.
Oh my god, yes. It looks like it is like an adventure game in terms of like visual novel type thing with anamorphic creatures. I stumbled on that. It looks
like...
Did
you say animal-pornic?
Yeah, animal... Maybe, hopefully. It looks like Animal Crossing fan art. Some of the character designs, which just is like, okay, cool. I don't know, this looks like a weird game in terms of like the characters just look like almost like a weird episode of Riverdale, but with like animal creatures. Like, I'm on board with this. The music was so good, the art looks fantastic. It looks like you're watching a cartoon or an anime. I don't know. This looked really cool. This is definitely a game that was like catered to me. So I'm excited.
I definitely got like a little bit of like Concrete Genie vibes from it a little bit. Like more of like the graphic style, like the
I could see that.
Animations and stuff. So.
Yeah. I thought the previous game we were talking about, Kena Bridge of Spirits, that definitely had like a Concrete Genie vibe to it. But yeah, a Goodbye Volcano High. It looks like I like that this was included with the PS5 reveal, because it definitely seems like an adult-oriented like drama game, which I'm glad that we got that to be included with everything. I'm excited. It looks like, if you ever look up fan art for Flick from Animal Crossing, don't do that unless Safe Search is on. Please, internet, don't do that unless Safe Search is on. But a lot of the creatures just like look like fan art of Flick interacting with each other and probably fucking, so I'm on board.
And then we saw a new Oddworld game. Did it have Just Have Water as the company?
No, I think it just said Oddworld Inhabitants, I think. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I honestly, when I saw Oddworld, I kind of was just like, okay, and I just looked at my phone. I mean, I'm not a big fan. I used to be, but
yeah, I mean, it didn't look. I mean, it looked cool compared to some of the other Oddworld games, but it didn't really look like it was doing anything massively different. But I mean, Oddworld is a successful. Yeah, Oddworld is a successful franchise. Like, so if it's a genre that's there, and if you enjoy playing it, like, this looks cool and it looks fun and it looked super detailed. So
yeah, it looked like they're cranking up the Oddworld formula like to 11, which I'm sure that will make some people super happy. I'm just always surprised that Oddworld's been chugging along all these years. I know it went away for a little bit, but there's definitely an audience from it, and it does seem like here is a game for you. Good for them. I'm just not that big of an Oddworld fan. I used to love that game a lot when I was a kid, like the first Oddworld. I used to play it all the time because it had a fart button. But
yeah, I just think that sometimes like games evolve, and it's almost like I mean, I don't want to compare it to this, but like when I see like all those other people like chasing him, it always kind of gives me like a Lemmings vibe to it. And I'm like definitely kind of like past that point. Yeah. Those games are fun in small chunks of time, but not something that I'd want to spend 6, 8, 10 hours playing.
Yeah, yeah, I totally see that.
And then, go ahead.
No, go for it.
They showed Ghostwire Tokyo. I feel like I want to say that we've seen the name Ghostwire somewhere before.
Remember last E3 at Bethesda? The Japanese girl who like got turned into a meme because she was like super shy introducing the game.
Yeah,
it was at Bethesda's press conference. Remember,
so this
it
is
had
a Bethesda game?
Yes, it is a Bethesda with Tango Gameworks.
Okay.
So this is a Shinmei Megami game that we saw.
I mean, it looked like what, Cyberpunk Tokyo?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember. Remember last year at E3 there was a demo and it almost looked like the Ronin stuff or the Hawkeye stuff from Endgame, where you had like a ninja in like Japan.
Oh yeah, and like it was like in a bunch of rain and everything. Like,
yes,
yeah,
that is this game.
Okay.
Which it looks pretty cool. You're fighting my arch rival, my biggest fear. You're fighting a lot of Slender Men in this game and pulling our hearts out, which I'm on board for. And you got finger guns. There's like handguns, which is
looks
cool.
Yeah, this game didn't really, for whatever reason, it didn't really do much to grab my attention, but it looked cool. So.
Yeah. But yeah, creepy monsters. It looks like you have to like pull their hearts out of the different monsters. They talk about in the trailer, like facing your fears. And I saw a few different like creepy pasta, old legend monsters in this game. So it looks like you're going to be fighting a bunch of different fears in this game, and you have finger guns, which is ridiculous and awesome. So I'm interested in this. Depending on how scary it is, will determine if I actually play it. But it at least looked cool. But yeah, did you want to hop on to the next game?
Yeah. So Super Brothers, JETT the Far Shore.
Man, I could not read that logo at first. Like as it was like getting bled into the screen, even when it finally finished posting the image, I was just like, "What?"
Yeah. They didn't really show a ton with that one either. It was kind of very short, and then they kind of went to the logo. I don't really remember a lot from that one, unfortunately.
Space exploration, it looks like. I kind of got some Kerbal vibes because it looks like you're like building towards like a better
ship. Oh yeah,
ship.
This is the one that kind of kept pulling away like year one, year two, year three, year four. Yeah, and I was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, I didn't really understand. And then a good chunk of the trailer, this camera super zoomed out, like focusing on like one little tiny ship. Don't know what to make quite of this game. I got some Kerbal vibes, but I didn't see any of like actual building. So yeah, I need to see more about this to make a full opinion on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And then the game that I've been interested in, Gearbox showed a lot more of Godfall, finally.
Yeah, in a different way than they introduced it. Odd music choice.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. It doesn't fit the game.
How it was presented beforehand.
Right. Hopefully that music's not in the game. You know?
Well, the thing is, I like the song. The song was actually cool. It just did not fit the game or the previous trailer and gameplay we've seen. It definitely feels like a publisher, Gearbox specifically, maybe realized that when they introduced Godfall originally, no one really remembered it too much. And then when they did that gameplay reveal a couple months ago, no one really talked about it. So then maybe Gearbox went in as like, cool rap song. And then they went with cool rap song and it just didn't fit or vibe. The game looks
cool.
Well,
yeah. My concern with this game right now is like that I hope they don't try to borderlands it. Like,
exactly. That's what I'm worried about.
So I love the idea of, I mean, everybody knows that I love loot games. So, and this has been portrayed as a loot game and as a slash looter, hack and slash looter. So where you can hope, like it looked like based on what they showed, where you can master a weapon, you could become unstoppable. They're using a lot of words that are very, that could end up like being held against them later. In terms of like, if you make yourself quote unquote unstoppable in a looter game, you really don't want to get any more loot because you're like, why do I need different stuff? I'm already unstoppable. So, like, similar to, like, Destiny's, like, become legend and Division's, like, become the ultimate agent, you know, and you know, things like that. Like, you run into issues of trying to do so much, some other stuff. But in terms of a game with, like, super shiny cosmetics that you hopefully can earn in-game by playing the game and different ways to slash your way through levels, like, it looks very interesting to me.
Yeah, it looks cool. We got to at least see more gameplay, or very quick glimpses of gameplay cut, like, fast. I'm kind of interested in it. I get, like, Warframe vibes from it, in terms of, like, the combat flow and everything like that. I just thought the presentation here was just a little odd.
Yeah, I think I'll have to watch it again without the music and see what I see.
Yeah, and again, like, I like the song, but I feel like the song works better with other games than this game. And maybe the song would have worked better with me if this was the first time I saw this game. But because we have already seen trailers for this game, it just seemed like they're pivoting of how they're presenting the game. But that might be me just looking too deep into it.
No, I said, even when I watched it, I said the song doesn't fit what they're showing.
So. Yeah.
And then maybe the lyrics did. My wife's saying when she was watching in the chat right now that the lyrics kind of matched. If you listen to what they were saying versus what they were doing, it matched, but the beat of the music didn't seem to go with what they were showing.
Yeah, they definitely hit words with the combat really nice. It was just a weird presentation aspect to it. Okay, and then what was the next game? Because I think I may have missed
Solar one. Ash.
Okay, the from the developers of Hyper Light Drifter.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one, like, similar art style to Hyper Light Drifter. I wonder if it's, like, in the same universe, because I haven't played Hyper Light Drifter, but I know what that game looks like. But it's, like, a trippy third-person action platformer, which it's coming out 2021. It was kind of hit or miss on terms of, like, when games are releasing, when they would tell you if a game's, like, what year it is. Because I think Godfall was 2020... Jet was 2020, and then we had other games that just didn't have dates on them. But yeah,
I hate Windows anyways, like, that's why I didn't really talk about it. Fall, yeah. 2021, what the hell does that mean?
It looks cool. The art style is on the same spectrum as Hyper Light Drifter. Definitely, I'm glad they included as many games as possible, but I didn't really leave the trailer with any, like, deep thoughts, or, like, if I didn't take notes, I probably couldn't name it off the top of my head.
Right, yeah, absolutely, yep. And that's kind of how I was feeling about some of the stuff when I was talking about earlier. I'm like, okay, you brought up a game, and I'm like, that even you saying that didn't resonate with me. Like, if I brought the stream up and was fast-forwarding with you, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. It's definitely one of those games. There's going to be a lot of games that we saw in here that are going to definitely... Or they could have benefited from there being an E3 or something that people could have got their hands on and then wrote an impression piece or put a gameplay video up.
I also feel like they showed probably 5 or 6 games in here that would have been, at a typical Sony press conference, would have been like a B-roll game.
Yeah, that definitely would have been like sizzle reel in the middle of the show as they like try and cool down the crowd from like a big announcement, which is usually how the sizzle reels go. It's like, oh, Keanu Reeves is on stage. Cool, calm down, people. Here's a sizzle reel. And then move on to the next one. And then...
I'll take the next one.
So. Yeah, so this is Hitman 3, dated for 2021. Cinematic trailer for this. We saw, I think, a little bit of gameplay. I'm not too sure towards the end.
Yeah, at least an extended trailer or something like that.
So. Yeah, so the cinematic trailer almost looks like Agent 47 is like on the run a little bit. But... later on, the developer came out and talked about the game, and this is going to be the end of the World of Assassins trilogy, so they're going to bookend those games, but it's still going to be like the previous games where, you know, you're going to go to specific locations and take care of assassinations, and then they did follow it up with gameplay from Dubai, which is going to be one of the levels in the game. It looked cool. I suck at these games, so my excitement was more of like, I can't wait to watch some streamers that play this game play it. I was intrigued by the idea of like Agent 47 on a run, but then when they talked about it's going to be like the previous games, I'm like, oh, that doesn't really work with the story, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, he's gonna be running away from things while he's doing contracts. Like,
yeah. So the trailer confused me just a little bit, but I might just be a little too dense for that. And then speaking of like Mario platformers, I believe they followed this one up with Astro's Playroom.
Mm-hmm.
So the Astrobot franchise, I guess it's a franchise now because it's like the third Astrobot game.
Well, and these are the same characters that have been showed up in Playroom when these bots have been showing up since the camera and the share functionality of launch PS4.
It looks like they're going to be like the a continued mascot. Is this building on that VR game that was really good that people say is like a Mario 64 style platformer? So they're just going to build on that in non-VR, which is great, just because a lot of people really love the Astrobot Rescue Mission game.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people got to play it because it was a VR game.
Well, plus, the problem with VR, like, I could see, like, me playing that game, and that would be something I could teach Owen how to play, or yes. play with Owen. And if I have a VR headset on, I can't play with my four-year-old.
No. So when you're like, I was playing with him, but, oh, he left? I didn't know.
Yeah. And the shared screen or you know, regardless of when somebody puts the headset on, they are isolating themselves from the group.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I'm happy to see this is going to be a non-VR game. The trailer made it seem like the controller is going to be like a, just like Astrobot was a tech demo for the Playroom stuff, and VR, this seems like it's going to be a tech demo for the controller, the DualSense controller.
Oh yeah. I have a feeling you'll be shaking the heck out of the controller or using haptic feedback, hitting the controller against your hands. So I want to back up a little bit because Lebetsky in chat just put something, and I don't think I missed it. So he's writing, is Bethesda getting, are these, oh, okay. So yeah. Bethesda is timed, but Ghostwire seems to be exclusive. I think Ghostwire definitely is exclusive because they're working with one of the Sony studios though, right?
I'm not sure. He's saying Deathloop is timed, but Ghostwire seems to be exclusive. I'd have to look into that. That'd be interesting.
I thought the guy that was doing the presentation, I felt like when there was a Ghostwire thing, I thought I saw Studio Japan's logo too, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it might not be, but I know they had Tango Works is working on it, but yeah, totally within the realm possibilities. That'd be cool. But I don't know if I'd have to look that up.
I mean, Lebetsky usually knows his stuff.
Yeah. So there's been such a flood of information, so it's hard to keep up with.
So then they showed off Little Devil Inside, which, again, I couldn't kind of tell what kind of game this was at first.
I couldn't figure out the art style on it. It looked kind of papercraft and kind of like toy animation, like stop motion almost. It looks interesting. I couldn't tell what the hell was happening. It's like you had like an old man going through his daily routine, and then it would cut to an adventurer
getting chased by isn't that the one where he jumped in the water? Then it's the game where he jumped in the water and he had a scuba mask on all of a sudden.
Yes, yeah.
And then there was like a huge octopus in the water.
Yeah, and then the old man took a shit. So the PlayStation blog put up little tiny things for it. So it's set in Victorian-like era. Embark on dangerous missions to gain evidence and findings for your employer, a mysterious professor. So you're the adventurer doing the work for the professor. Cool indie game to put in there. And I just confirmed what Lebetsky said. Yeah, Ghostwire is going to be, like, exclusive. Deathloop will launch exclusively on a PS5.
Okay.
It looked cool. I think it was another Annapurna game. I think most of the indie games kind of had Annapurna logo on them beforehand. That looked pretty cool. And then Dave, tell me about the sweaty man.
I feel like this was almost very similar to like what Xbox did with Madden. Like, hey, 2K, NBA 2K is coming to PS5. Like, no crap.
Yeah.
So it showed alpha footage from PS5. And again, it was showing you a bunch of angles of like how you're not going to play the game. It showed a bunch of Zion Williams.
Only Zion Williams.
Yeah, personally, I think Zion Williams has been in the news the last 48 hours, not too well right now. So I think if they would have known that, then maybe they would have tried to do something a little different. But that's neither here nor there. Not that he would have affected how that game does or doesn't sell. The tech that they're allegedly showing off looks cool, but again, that's not how you play 2K.
Yeah, it was... It looks really good, but of course, when you're only rendering one character in a very dimly lit basketball court, of course, you can go crazy with how that character looks. It looks super realistic, but I want to see what the game looks like when you have 10 people plus the referees on the court and a full crowd.
I want to see what it looks like when I'm playing online against a friend of mine and trying to, you know.
I don't know. I hate presentations like this. Every year or every console generation, 2K is like, look at how sweaty we can get. And it's just like, okay, who cares?
And the same problem that 2K, NBA 2K has is the same problem that Madden has. Nobody's really pushing them.
No, they don't have to be pushed. But yeah, the sweat looks really good, I guess. the next game on the list that they showed, which made me very happy...
is your buddies.
Yeah, the Chicago studio, the Young Horses. They have a weird game called Bug Snacks coming out this holiday.
I want that strawberry as like something to set on the shelf over here.
Yeah, dude, that game looks like it was made for merchandise if they want to go that route. So it looks like there's a walrus adventurer?
I don't know what the hell that thing was, because whatever it ate, it like attached to its arm.
Yeah, so Jeff Keighley actually did interviews with some of the developers of some of these games like immediately after. And it sounds like you're exploring an island that have these weird bugs, which are like the strawberry bugs. And I guess you just turn into whatever you eat. You are what you eat on this world or on this island. So it's just it's a wacky game from the developers of Octodad. So... yeah, this is totally right down my alley again, because it's weird, and the Octodad developers are weird, and they made a weird game that's weird. Like,
I do not like the 2022 window that they put on it, though.
No, I thought they said holiday 2020.
I thought it said 2022.
Oh, I'd have to look again.
Because I was like, wow, like that's a long... because they did Octodad, and they've done something else since then?
No,
I know they're a small studio. Anything.
They haven't done anything since Octodad.
Yeah, I know they're a small studio. It's probably like less than 10 people. Like, and the stuff that like Octodad was fun. It was cool.
Oh, no, it is this holiday.
Okay. There was something I thought I saw that was 2022.
There might have been a couple things, but no, it was this holiday for Bug Snacks, which is good because it has been a long time since.
Oh, there's another game that's 2022. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a blog post on the PlayStation blog that explains the game. Definitely check that out if you liked Octodad. It's just a weird game. So I'm all about the weird games. And then we had a brief message. I think right after this, we had the brief message from Shu talking about a game he was super excited for. And it's the game that Blue Point Games is working on. They are officially working on Demon Souls remastered or remake.
It didn't say either one of those words, though.
Looking at it, it looks slightly better or a little marginally better than the original game. They put out some screenshots. But yeah, they're redoing Demon Souls, which is good because the servers for Demon Souls went down a couple years ago. Like, they took it off. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a game that, to get the full experience, you need to play it online. So having that come out for the PS5, it looks good. Demon Souls is I bought the collector's edition for Demon Souls day one, played 20 minutes of it and put it on a shelf. And then I just watched my friend play a good chunk of Demon Souls. So probably will end up in the same boat, with this one. But yeah, people have been trying to figure out what Blue Point has been working on, because they talked about their next game is going to be super ambitious, and this being Demon Souls makes sense because they haven't really done an online game, and Demon Souls is a different type of online game. So we at least know what Blue Point's working on, so we can put down our fan lists. It's not SOCOM, it's not Warhawk, it's Demon Souls. Which has been like a horribly kept secret, to be completely honest. Like, we knew Demon Souls Remaster was probably coming.
Yeah. And then they showed Arkane Studios, which is a Bethesda studio, and they showed Deathloop.
Yes.
Which looked, at first I was like, huh? And then as I was watching it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of interesting.
Yeah, this was another one that was shown at Bethesda's press conference last year with Ghostwire. This looks cool. This is the one I wonder if Housemarque was like, son of a bitch. Because this is another live, die, repeat style game. Dave, you want to explain the trailer a little bit?
So it sounds like that you're playing a character that's an assassin, and you're going after, it looked like it was eight other people.
Yes, eight targets by midnight.
Yeah, right. And but then you're also being hunted and targeted by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling that if I had to guess, this is going to be kind of a pattern sort of game. If I really had to guess, like, you're going to get almost sort of roguelike. You're going to get to a certain spot and then something's going to happen. And if you react fast enough, you're going to survive. If you don't, you have to go all the way back. Now, all the way back might only be like 10 minutes back. And then you're going to go through it again, and then you know that that's going to happen, and either you wait or you react differently, and you get to progress farther, and then then another quote-unquote trap would happen, and then they'll have different levels like this, and as you eliminate the target, it's going to unveil more of the story, but when you die, you go back again and kind of have to go back through it again.
Yeah, it was definitely like the... It seemed like he almost didn't even die in the trailer. He was like, damn it, let me try that again, and then jump back.
Yeah, like rewound.
Yeah, and that was interesting. The humor seemed there. Visually, it looked great. Like, the art style, like, I got, like, We Happy Few vibes.
Uh-huh.
Which...
And a little bit of Dishonored style to it as well, with some of the abilities.
Yeah, it is Arkane Studio, so it, like, makes sense that they would use that technology for their next game. Because we saw like teleporting, like some telekinesis abilities. We saw a bunch of different power ups and fun weapons in there. And like, I can't stress how much like the humor, or at least I found some of it humorous, of just him, mm-hmm. just like cursing.
The animation looked cool. How it looks, like, even my wife made a comment. She's like, okay, like, this is a death game. She's like, but it's not super graphic.
Yeah, it wasn't graphic at all. Or graphic, but not, like, excessive. That... I'm excited about that. That was one of the games that, like, I walked away from, but was excited about, like, seeing more of that game. And I want to see this... see this through. I wonder if that would be coming to PS4. I don't remember last year when they announced it, if they put any platforms on that one, or if this is mm-hmm. going to only be PS5. Because we still have, like, the thing, like, if any of these games are coming to Xbox, they're going to be on Xbox One, which means they're going to be on PS4. Ideally.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's part of the deal of, like, maybe these games can't run on prior gen.
Yeah, because that would have to be the case, right? Because, like, if it's going to be on Xbox Series X, it has to be on Xbox One, and then why wouldn't you just put it on PS4 at that point?
Well, so. I think that I don't know. I thought that they said it wouldn't be exclusive to Xbox Series X, and I guess that would be exclusive if it only runs on the Series X.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly, yeah. I wonder how that's going to work, which could explain why this one is going to launch exclusively.
Timed exclusive until Xbox allows single.
Yeah, exactly. Which I wonder if that's just going to play into Sony's hand, if that's the case. If, like, that's the reason Deathloop is going to be a timed exclusive, is because they just wanted to... The game wasn't possible on old gen, and they didn't want to, like, change their gameplay design. Because this game works really well with the power of the Xbox Series X SSD and the PS5 SSD if you can instantaneously go back to the beginning of the level and not have to worry about a loading screen every time you die. If it's going to be a game that you have to constantly repeat sequences over and over again, the fast loading could be really key to that. That the old consoles just can't do.
Yeah, and then Capcom trailer for Resident Evil Village, which actually turns into Resident Evil 8 Village. Pretty interesting play on logo and words for them with that one. So that's pretty creative there with Village, V-I-L-L.
Man, they had a stretch for that, I feel like, too. Though. It was creative, but it was just like, man, you're really trying.
Yeah, so I'm not super into the Resident Evil lore, but I know that like Chris, like him being there again is a big deal. A lot of people mm-hmm. were freaking out about that. So they didn't really show much of anything for that. 2021 as well. Capcom and Resident Evil have had a pretty good, like Resident Evil 7 did really well in VR. So I would expect it to be a little bit, some type of VR aspect to it as well.
Yeah, I'm glad, because we know Resident Evil 7 did well, but also those remakes and remasters did really, really well. So I'm glad they're at least going to continue like the mainline franchise and not just focus on like working on remasters. So that was cool to see. I'm a pussy. I can't watch any of I can't play any of these scary games. But it looked cool, and I hope it's associated with M. Night Shyamalan's The Village, just to see how it goes. But we'll see. Okay, and then after that, we got Pragmata? Is that how you say it?
I think so.
And I almost thought this was a Kojima game based on how it looked and the design. And I don't know. So you're like in a spacesuit in like Times Square and it's abandoned. And I don't know. You like pulled up the past and there was like the little girl who turned out to be real. I was very confused, which is why I thought it was a Kojima thing. And then, like, a satellite came down, and then you ended up on the moon. Like, I was confused. It looks kind of cool. It looks very Kojima, but it turns out to be a Capcom game. So I have no idea what to make of this. What were your thoughts with it?
Yeah, I don't really, the trailer didn't really resonate with me. It's definitely not my style of game, so it's not something I was, like, super concerned with. This is the one, I guess, that I got confused with the other one. This one says 2022. So as soon as it said 2022, I like just like pushed it out of my head because like I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't even know if they told us really what studio's working on it or anything.
Yeah. No, I don't think they put a specific Capcom studio on it. But it looks cool. But I didn't know it was 2022, which just immediately just kind of turns me off from the game as soon as I see that. But I don't know. It looked kind of cool. I'd rather wait to see more from the game in a year from now than seeing it now. But who knows? And then the next game.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, come on. Like this was getting to the point where this was like an hour long, and I'm like, wow, like this is long. And then they showed the Sony Interactive Entertainment logo, and I was like, okay. And then it's Horizon Forbidden West. It's not Horizon 2. It's Horizon Forbidden West.
Because Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is a really bad name.
Yeah.
So they had to do this.
It started off like trying to, you knew Sony was making it. They were showing some stuff. You didn't necessarily know what it was until they showed Aloy. And when they showed Aloy, like, this would have been, like, at a press conference, so people would have just lost their mind. Yeah. This is when you would have heard, like, a bunch of screaming and cheering and stuff. Again, Horizon's another game that I haven't had a chance to complete. I had started it. So, yeah, this is probably going to force me to do it because this looks really intriguing. And they're coming, it's, you know, Forbidden West, they're coming to America. I swear that I saw like the Golden Gate Bridge, like wrapped in ivory. When you know, like, it showed a lot of her. I have a feeling this is going to be, you know, traveling a large area, taking advantage of the SSD again as a Sony studio. It showed her on riding a device, a bull, what looked like a bull, a lot. So like moving, traversing across the country, I think will be something. You know, very much so, and showing different what appeared to be people taking control of the animals, the robotic animals.
Yeah, I was really impressed with even though I haven't played Horizon, I know for the most part the environments are pretty, like there might be like one or two environments, but they went through a lot of different environments in this. Like we saw going underwater and seeing like old like ruins underwater. We had forest, we had snow, we had desert. There was a bunch of different locations they hop between, which I thought was really impressive. I had no clue what was going on story-wise because I've never played Horizon, but it's one of those games that I do plan to play one day. I was just happy it was included and it was the show ender. Like, it stopped, you know, it was the last thing on the reveal, because I think they needed to end with something big, and Horizon proved to be that big franchise. And knowing that the Spider-Man game might be like Spider-Man 1.5 as opposed to Spider-Man 2, this was the right game to end. And Naughty Dog's busy wrapping up The Last of Us, and Sucker Punch is busy wrapping up Ghost of Tsushima. So this was the game to end it. So I think that was a great way to cap things off.
Yeah, for sure. So like, that was the end of all the trailers, and then they started like what was looking like they were showing again the same thing that they've been showing in the transitions. And then they started showing like this black box, and it was moving, and there was like the circle and the square and the X logo were showing up, cross logo. Sorry, don't kill me. Yeah. You know, as the box was building,
I started to walk away. To be honest,
and I was like. And my wife said, she's like, oh, they're going to show the box. I'm like, they're not showing the box. I was like, there's no way they're showing the box. And then they showed the box.
Yeah.
And it looked... I don't really care what a console looks like. It definitely has a really cool architecture to it. Some of the teaser stuff they've been showing, they showed black controllers. So I would kind of like to see it like reversed a little bit. I guess, like, I think if you reverse the colors on this, it probably would look like an Oreo.
Yeah.
So they showed the box with all the sleek lines. A lot of people on the internet said it looked like a router.
I got General Grievous from Star Wars vibes from it. That's just me.
I don't understand the fascination behind what a console looks like. I don't care. Like, my PlayStation 4 is sitting over here on a shelf, and I'll stick it underneath the shelf. Like, I don't care. I don't really care what my PC looks like. But I'm also the same kind of guy that doesn't, like, RGB light all my stuff, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, the Series X looking like a box, like a tower box, like, didn't bother me. So, like, it's whatever. Go ahead.
So Sony's always been about, like, aesthetic and design, so it fits their branding. It's a really cool looking box. My only problem with it looks like it only is meant for vertical. I saw the pictures of it horizontally, and it doesn't look right horizontally. It just looks weird. You can tell they meant and designed it for it to stand up, but like, I don't have space to stand up the console unless I put it on the floor next to the TV stand that I have. That's the only thing that bothered me, but I love the risk in the design. It's not just a boring rectangle like the Xbox
It's actually smaller than I expected it to be, too.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be a little chunkier, but they also announced two different versions of it. There's the PS5, and then there's the PS5 Digital Edition, which takes out the disc drive, the 4K UHD disc drive, and that takes actually some shape off of it. So the console looks perfectly designed and symmetrical for the all digital edition. And then when you look at the one with the disc drive, and it just has a little bit of a hump to it that just messes up the symmetry on it. But how do you feel about there being two different SKUs, specifically a disc drive one and a non-disc drive one?
I'm totally fine with it once we see the price difference.
That immediately spiked in my head. So we've heard the rumors about Project Lockhart.
Multiple SKUs.
Yes.
Like, we've heard that from both systems about multiple SKUs, and everything we heard about multiple SKUs would be like a 1080p 60 frame version,
yes,
and a 4K, you know, version of like the, it would be almost like a downscale, and that would warrant the price. This is definitely like, Xbox has already done an all digital version,
yeah,
of, you know, of the Xbox One S, which, you know, has done well, and with Games Pass, like, is still a viable option. I am not opposed to this at all. Like, I prefer to buy stuff digitally. A lot of times I buy it physically if I think I'm going to loan a game out to somebody. Like, I pre-ordered Last of Us 2 on disc. So, like, it's one of those things where if my son wants to play it, he can access it digitally through my library, but a coworker wants to check it out. Like, I lent God of War to some people. I bought that on disc. And then that this does eliminate that. But, you know, it's giving more questions than answers, though. Like, okay, so if it's going to be backwards compatible, is it going to be backwards compatible?
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. It completely messes up backwards compatibility.
Yeah. Is it gonna look at my PS4 purchases and let me play my digital games that aren't upscaled to PS5? Like, there's just them showing that showed a lot more, you know, left a lot more questions. They showed off the headphones that are supposed to be like 3D audio specific.
Well, it's really cool.
Yeah, but again, like the last couple headphones that Sony has released, like, aren't up to par with where the headphones are now. Where Turtle Beach is, and where Logitech is, and where all these companies are with these headphones. And if you're going to put some proprietary special thing in your headphones that only your studios take advantage of, like, that's great, but that's only 5 out of 30 games that people own. You know, like, they're going to go with the thing that supports the 25 games a little bit better. So I hope that they share that tech, because we've heard that. Like, even last year at E3, we heard a lot from the companies on headphones and other accessories that they're just waiting to see how the hardware is going to work. They're waiting to see what these next-gen consoles are going to do. And if Sony's not going to allow people to access their tech for this 3D audio, like, that kind of sucks. That kind of puts them in the Apple mindset with me. Like, oh, you have to use our stuff to take advantage of our technology. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah. When I saw that they're going with the all-digital one, I immediately was like, fuck, it's going to be expensive. Like, this whole thing just made me think, like, they wanted to cut whatever costs they could out of the system, and that disk drive was the cost that they cut. So I'm worried we're looking at $600 and $500 machine, which I was really hoping we were looking at a $400, like, machine tops, but we're probably looking at, like, a $500 digital edition and then a disc version at like 600, which scares
me. I think that, you know, like, we've always talked about, like, we were waiting for somebody to throw the punch, like, so PlayStation threw the punch, showing the discless PS5. They threw a punch to Xbox. We think that Lockhart is a thing. It probably is really a thing, a discless Xbox Series X. So then somebody's gonna have to throw the punch for price, and it's gonna have to happen soon, because we're getting near the middle of June. And nobody has showed price, and nobody has shown dates. And the reason why all of these things say holiday 2020, January 2021, is because they can't date a game. Because if they start dating games, if all of a sudden all these games say, like, November 10th and November 23rd and November 17th and November 27th, people are going to be like, well, nothing comes out before November 8th. So,
yeah, people will work backwards and get the release date. Yeah.
So, again, these release dates of formal dates, day and dates, are being restricted by Microsoft and Sony not wanting to release their date of their system yet.
Yeah. Which I still think they need to do soon, so pre-orders can open up, which means they need to release a price for this. We already know there's going to be a limited stock of these systems, which worries me. It's going to be limited to where they're going to push the cheaper one. Because we heard that because of COVID, they're going to have to limit how many they're going to put into market. How are they going to skew that? Is it going to be 50-50, 50 digital, 50 disk drive? You know, 50% disk drive, 50% digital? Or are they going to skew it because they probably want to sell the digital one more, because then you have to buy your games from Sony. They don't have to cut in retail partners. And they can take advantage of the fact that retailers had a lot of power at the beginning of the year in terms of, like, we will probably sell your console if you have games you can sell in store. But because of the current circumstances of the world, retailers are just like, give us anything that we can sell that people will come to our stores for. Mm-hmm. So will Sony take advantage of that and skew it to where it's just like 2/3 are the discless ones and 1/3 of them have a disc drive?
So what would be the, for you, what would be the price difference that would be like, make it almost like a no-brainer for you? Is it $100 cheaper? And yes, you're like, okay, I'm getting discless?
Yeah, $100 at a minimum. If it's 50, I'm going to get the one with the disc drive. Just because I want to take advantage of the bare-ass bones backwards compatibility they have and pop in a PS4 disc. So like I would need to be $100 difference. Though this holiday it might be a beggars can't be choosers scenario to where I'm just gonna get whichever one I can and whichever one's cheapest, and then just keep my PS4 around. Which wouldn't be the end of the world. I kind of have room for a PS4. I still have a PS3 hooked up to my TV, so maybe I'll just disconnect that and chuck it and keep the
PS4. Yeah, I could definitely see myself like buying the discless one. I probably will actually go discless off the start. And then as a price drop or a the slim version or the 2 or 3 years down the road when they start selling really well and they get a price cut or a holiday price point one, where like I might pick up a disc based one, and then the PS5, we have two PS4s now, depending on the situation with, you know, what they can do and what they can't do, which they still haven't gone into of like, you know, is this going to be something that's, you know, going to take over mounting my TV to the wall, mounting my soundbar to the bottom of my TV, and then just having this one HDMI cable running from my PlayStation to my television and not having to worry about anything else, you know?
Yeah.
The discless one definitely brings a lot of, you know, possibilities of even me caring even less about what it looks like, because I'll just tuck it behind my TV like on a mount and not even think about it because I don't have to put a disc in.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because Ryan did come in towards the stream towards the end and basically said the things that we criticized him for in that interview from a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And it was just funny because it was exactly what he said, but because it was in the context of this event, it was a little bit more palatable.
It was after he showed cool stuff.
Yes, exactly. Which is just like, this is all we, this is exactly
it's after
what
he showed
him.
Things that are exclusive to the system. So again, like they're not, whether nobody's going to come out and say it, like no developer is going to come out and say, well, my game can't run on prior gen because it'll look bad. But like right now, like after today, we saw Horizon, you know, Forbidden West, Spider-Man, Miles Morales. And,
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Ratchet and Clank. So this is exactly what I've been saying that I wanted to see. Of show me something that I have to get a PS5 for. And they did that. If Deathloop is only going to be on PS5, Ratchet and Clank, Horizon. If these games are only going to be on PS5, and even from third-party studios are only going to be on PS5, they're quote-unquote timed exclusives because Bethesda's game can't run on current-gen stuff and it can only run on next-gen, that's fine. And that's exactly what I wanted to see. But is now the conversation is, because I really wasn't even thinking about that until you brought it up, but now the conversation is Microsoft doing themselves a disservice trying to provide great service to their consumer?
Yeah. And also, as much as we were criticizing for Sony of like, you have to show us stuff, you have to show us stuff, I wonder if Microsoft, if they held that third-party event and combined it with their first-party event in July, if we would have a different story, because when we came all out of that third party Xbox showcase of like, they didn't really show that much, but the stuff they showed in here would be stuff that was in between like the Sony stuff that we saw today.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's valid concerns of like, okay, I'm going to release a Spider-Man 1.5 or, you know, and off the bat, I mean, maybe in the first 90 days, 6 months of the consoles being out, like maybe they sell 10 million consoles. And then you start looking at attach rate, like 10 million is a reach, I think.
Yeah.
To have that many sold in the first 6 months, like that's super high expectations.
They're only putting 5 mil out.
Too. Yeah. So if they only put 5 mil out, you know, even so, like you start talking about attach rates though, and like what may or may not be available at launch, whether it's Horizon or because they didn't put any kind of date on Horizon, or if it's Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man and Ratchet and Clank, if those are launch titles, like those are things that can carry your console, but are only going to really carry your console to people that have played them prior.
Yeah, and which again, are day one people.
Right. And again, I think that it's, you know, as I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but them putting a 2 or not putting a 2 on Spider-Man and on Horizon can help them and hurt them. Because if you're going after a new PS5 customer and it's like, okay, here's Horizon Forbidden West. Oh, I heard about this. But without it having the 2, my first immediate thought is I haven't played the first one.
Yeah.
So, you know, same thing with Spider-Man. Spider-Man 2. You know, like I didn't play the first one, so I don't need that yet. You know, but now this is just another Spider-Man game, and this is just another Horizon game, and just another Ratchet and Clank game. So, like, these are things that are, you know, marketing-wise that are very good.
Yeah. All right.
Same
so,
reason they didn't. The same reason they didn't call it Killzone 4 when they called it Killzone Shadowfall.
Yeah, yeah. You at a certain point, you're unless you're Final Fantasy, you know, your numbers mean something.
I mean, they're just doing it all over again. Infamous Second Son is Infamous 3.
Yeah, you have to do that because you want people to feel like this is a brand new experience that you're getting on these new consoles. And sometimes you have to mess with names a little bit just to get that done, especially for the casual market. People listening to this podcast, us talking, we know which games are sequels or not. But the casual market, we always talk about like an infamous grandmother, you know, buying something for her kid, you know, it's easier if she just sees Spider-Man Miles Morales as opposed to Spider-Man 2, because then she's going to be like, oh, I got to ask him if he played Spider-Man 1. Oh, but then if I say that, then he'll know I'm buying Spider-Man 2, and then you get into all sorts of craziness.
And then you're still running into the same problem of now grandma's like, oh, you know, Johnny's got a PS5. Oh, cool, let me buy him a disc. Oh, he's got the disc with
me. Yeah, yeah, you're going to have that problem. And man, I really hope they have some sort of way to mitigate that.
You think every disc will have a code in it?
Maybe, but then again, you could trade that game away unless they bring back, like, was it EA had Project $10 where you had, like, a game pass for every game, and if you didn't have it, it cost $10 to activate the game.
You Maybe. Think there could be any kind of tech that says, like, once you enter the code, like, the disc can't be read anymore, it shows it as like a redeemed version or something?
Yeah, if they go with like a serial number based system, they can probably totally do something like that. But yeah, you bring up a good point. I didn't even think of that, of just like during the holiday season when people are buying gifts, and the digital one is going to be the one that sells the most because it will be cheaper theoretically. So it being cheaper means people are going to buy that, and I wonder what's going to happen at the Targets and the GameStops, because as someone who used to work at Target, we are tracked on selling accessories and games with consoles. So I wonder if people are going to be buying the digital console during the holidays, and then the GameStop Target employee is going to be like, oh, you're going to need this game and this game and this game, and then they attach all those games to it. And only to find out, like, oh, you can't play any of those games because you don't have a disc drive. They're going to have to put some branding on these boxes to make sure confusion like that doesn't stop, or have some sort of safe hold or like some sort of backup plan in the way. But
I think we're having some issues with the stream.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we're about to wrap up.
Yeah.
So, Dave, final thoughts on the event?
I was happy with it. I mean, it showed it was games that are exclusive to next gen. So I was pretty happy with what I saw there. I was hoping to see a couple more heavy hitters. I thought maybe we'd see something about MLB The Show. I was hoping we would see something a little bit more from their exclusives, you know, showing off some other things. But you know, I guess I was hopeful to see, you know, part of the operating system when they showed that logo where they said push this button to turn your controller on. I'm like, they're going to show the OS, and they didn't. So
yeah,
I mean, I had expectations that of what I was hoping for, and then what I knew that they were probably going to show, and they hit the expectations of what I knew they were probably going to show.
Yeah,
I actually didn't expect to see the box. So
yeah, that was a nice surprise. Overall, I thought this was a really good show. Sony nailed it. In terms of the presentation, the flow, we got to hear from developers from time to time. We got to see gameplay. They showed games that look like they use the actual power of the console. So I think they did a really good job. Now they just need to execute on explaining things. They need better messaging on backwards compatibility, and we need the price. Mm-hmm. But overall, I walked away from this like super impressed with everything. And now it's up to EA next week to continue this and see what EA has. There was no Call of Duty, which a lot of people thought Call of Duty would show up here. So maybe Call of Duty will have its own event later on. I was really happy with how this turned out. Before the event even started, I was like, man, I hope me and Dave have something to talk about tonight. But we went longer than I expected to, but there was stuff to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
Which was great, but yeah, I think that's it for the PS5 reveal.
Yeah, so definitely, like, give us some feedback on this episode. It's going to be an extra episode on the feed. It's not going to be behind Patreon. It's not going to be behind Early Access. We're going to edit it, post it as soon as we can. Sorry about the stream again. If you were watching on the stream, it just crashed on me. My upload speed's going to crap with all the work from home people, probably. But let us know, like, is this something you want to see, like, maybe after the Ubisoft presentation? Is this something you'd want to see us do, like, after, like, a week of other presentations? Like, whether it's Call of Duty and, you know, and another Assassin's Creed presentation, or if these... You know, after the, you know, the anything else major that's coming out of the Game Fest, if there's something you guys want to see us do something extra or more focused on one topic, please send us the feedback on, you know, on Twitter, on Facebook, in the Facebook group, all of the above. All of those things are in the show notes. Everything is linked down there. Again, just please share the show. If you feel feel led to, like, please go to patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming. And look at the tiers and see if it's something you want. Early access to the weekly show is for $5. Bonus episodes are for $7. We recorded E3 memories, and we recorded retail war stories already for you guys. So if you subscribe to that $7 tier, you get access to those. $3 tier is access to the Discord. And again, all of it is huge, huge help financially to us, and maybe helping us with next-gen stuff, next-gen consoles, if these things are going to cost $700.
God.
So, but we appreciate you guys listening. I hope that this isn't too much content for you in 1 week. If it is, please let us know. Yeah. And hope everyone has a great week. Michael, you got anything else?
Nope. Hopefully EA justifies doing this again, or Microsoft in July.
Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. Have a great week. Keep moving forward.
See ya.